listening to Project Podcast. I am the warrior to my left, the 21st century writer.
The 21st century writer.
And to my right, after his 9 months in pregnancy, the guy with the laptop.
That 9 month pregnancy went like really fast. Like
it was
one
a beautiful thing.
It only felt like 1.5 weeks.
It was beautiful, bro. It was a beautiful thing. I got it all on tape anyway.
Yeah.
Sending as a Christmas
present. I was too lazy to get it on
Let's
DVD.
It's like, you want to post it on the podcast thing? No.
I don't think that's a good idea.
That's
probably get arrested or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Somebody would be arrested.
Yeah, it's because that's.
But you're listening to the fully run by us Project Podcast. No limitations.
Yeah, we have our own mixer. Yes. We don't have to.
Woo!
Yeah! Woo!
Recording every single day.
More creative than before.
More creative than before.
Okay, warrior. Just.
Yeah.
Not go down that road because we only have a few listeners. So.
We only have a few listeners?
I think so.
But I was trying to be Igor.
What?
All right. So
he's trying to be Igor.
Well, you know from
yeah.
What movie was
I get that.
What Dracula movie was that?
Oh, that was Van Helsing. I think
it was,
no,
it wasn't Van
was it?
Helsing.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't Van
Helsing.
Wasn't Van Helsing. Grant, don't do that.
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
I was enjoying myself. He was enjoying himself. Get away from us.
Unfortunately, you're not allowed to like enjoy yourself as much as, you know, Batman does.
Guys still like, going on about that?
Yes, because it's hilarious.
How did you get your costume to look so real? Because I'm Batman!
Alright, so
okay. We really need some pop filters.
On topic, guys, on topic, okay.
Yeah.
Alright, the topic today is, we're,
the wondrous world of H.P.
Lovecraft.
Or Howard Phillips Lovecraft, if you want to get all like fancy schmancy on us.
Little details.
You know, all those minute details.
Or if you're lazy like me, just Lovecraft.
Yep.
Yeah.
He created the very awesome genre of Lovecraftian horror.
Because cosmic horror.
Cosmic horror is...
Very influential.
I think he made cosmic horror. Maybe that was a guy like the guy who wrote the original book for the thing from outer space.
Yeah.
Even though that's technically from Earth, but it's on Earth, but it's cosmic. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but a very very revolutionary writer.
Oh, yeah.
He made his mark in history, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much.
He was heavily inspired by one Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, Poe.
He was
yes.
Basically he was in his he had an overbearing mother or whatever. Who was really protective of him, and since he was treated like, I don't know how to call it, but basically he was in his attic reading books most of the time, and he learned about the ways of the gentleman.
The ways of the gentleman.
He set he set himself forward to become a gentleman of the highest caliber, and he was a huge fan of Poe and stuff like that. And basically... because of his time in isolating himself in the attic and the very few times he went outside, he became xenophobic. So he was.
That sounds like a writer. Yeah.
Oh, we need just some. He wasn't all there up here, but he was a genius nonetheless.
I think I would get along with him great. Yeah, he sounds like an awesome guy.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you
would. I'm a little bit darker, so he probably.
Well, towards the end of his life, his xenophobia went away.
Really? Just like that?
He slowly, because he moved to New York for a little bit.
Does it borderline with paranoia or
stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he was a weird dude.
Genius writer anyway.
But his grandfather encouraged, according to this page here on
Wikipedia.
We're doing Wikipedia information now.
Yeah, his grandfather encouraged his reading, providing him material such classics as The Arabian Nights, Bullfinch, Age of Fables, and the children's versions of Iliad and the Odyssey.
Hmm. Oh, that sounds familiar.
And then his grandfather also tried to get him into this thing with telling his own original Gothic horror terrors. Gothic horror terrors.
I thought it was called for it.
But he started writing for a pulp magazine. I know that.
Pulp magazine?
Yeah, pulp magazine. You know what pulp paper is, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very, very, very awesome stuff for magazines back in the day. Because anyone could get published in a pulp magazine.
No.
kind of how you started up.
Like freelance work, or
it's mostly freelance. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds
like
it.
You work for very cheap, but meh.
More specifically, Lovecraft.
Some of his correspondents were Robert Bloch of Psycho.
Oh, love that man.
Clark Ashton Smith and Robert E. Howard, who created the Conan the Barbarian series.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But he saw.
He never read those.
He apparently suffered from hysteria, and no, he didn't suffer from hysteria. His mother suffered from hysteria.
Oh.
Because I think it's like people in his family had some weird psychological
bloodline, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Gene.
He was married for a short time.
Yeah, that sounds like a writer.
Yeah, then
Sonya Green.
Yeah, that was the reason why he moved to
New York.
New York, and then eventually he just couldn't live there anymore because his xenophobia was still there and present. So he went back to
a lot of foreigners in New York.
So he went back to Providence, which is also where he died and was born. So he died at the age of 46 of cancer and malnutrition.
Cancer. Like long or?
I'm not sure. Well, I didn't know that the creator of Conan the Barbarian committed suicide. Oh, learned something every day.
Yeah, that sounds like a writer.
He had cancer of the small intestine, and he also suffered from malnutrition. So even if he didn't have the cancer, his malnutrition was causing him great.
It was because he was a writer. He didn't really want the money. He was doing it because he wanted to write.
That's a true writer, I feel. Yeah,
and on his tombstone, it reads the words, "I am Providence," which is, named after his town.
Because
He was born and he died in his hometown. There's little pictures of stuff. But we're not here to talk about the history of the man for too long.
No.
We're here to talk about the history of his work.
Like Mythos.
Cthulhu mythos. Cthulhu is not even the actual... Well, there's no actual pronunciation. Because he intended it to be something like a sneeze or just some word that you just say.
You cough it out like...
It sounds very original nonetheless anyway.
Yeah,
like
he wanted it to feel very unpronounceable.
He couldn't even pronounce it.
Yeah, he couldn't pronounce the name of his own creation. A lot of his creations were like that, like Nyarlathotep, which is personally my favorite. Shagath. There's a number of them. Dagon. Well, he can pronounce Dagon because it's Dagon. Give me a second. I have to pick up the Cthulhu Mythos page on here because I actually have... You already beat me to it, didn't you?
No.
I have the laptop.
Laptop.
Let's see. He created Nyarlathotep. I don't even know how to pronounce that, so I'm not even going to try. Or Sega, or something like that. Nyogatha. Yeah. Shubnigratha. Grath. I'm terrible with pronouncing weird words. Afumzaha. Cthulhu. Dagon. Mother Hydra and Zoth Omegam, as well as other smaller things like Shoggoth and Azathoth. I think he made the Azathoth. Did he make Azathoth? I want to say he made Azathoth.
I think he did.
Azathoth is like Cthulhu's grandfather.
Great grandfather.
And isn't he like the father of Nyarlathotep?
For the family tree, I go get it.
Go look at that family tree, Graham. Open that family tree up.
Now, was Poe one of the only other writers that Lovecraft looked up to in a way, given his time?
He looked up to a number of them, but Poe is his biggest influence, considering that his very, very early works were written like almost mirror images of how Poe would write.
Really?
He learned and was able to replicate Poe's writing style perfectly.
Wow, that's crazy.
And then he had to develop it into his own. He had the tendency of being very descriptive.
Oh, I love that. Love that.
To a degree, I love description, but when it's really, 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 really like, I'm describing this to you to shove it in your face, that is irritating. He didn't do that.
He didn't do that kind of detail.
No.
Okay.
It's not like the book I'm reading for English class.
His detail was subtle, but you understood.
Like, yeah.
It was freaky. Like, the things that he would describe, they were just terrifying.
Like, could you read us a passage of one of his books?
You could probably pull like, one up.
Yeah.
I just had it up and I put it down.
I just had it up, but then I put it down.
Just to give you guys a better understanding on how Lovecraft.
Okay, are we gonna go a whole episode with or webisode?
Webisode.
Saying, it's a webisode. It's on the web. And it's okay.
I understand.
Well, are we gonna go a whole thing without mentioning digital bitch at least once? We have to. It's kind of like.
No, you just said it. Thanks.
There.
Oh,
there's
God.
Our weekly digital bitch. Oh, there we got another one. Granted, I didn't finish the last part of that word.
Well, who's exactly the digital bitch in this?
I don't know.
Episode.
The internet
I don't,
is the digital bitch.
The internet?
The internet is our digital bitch.
Our digital bitch?
I don't know. I had to say digital bitch at least once in this thing because I liked saying that last time. Well, then, you know, 9 months ago.
Still felt like it was only a week and a half ago.
I know! You wouldn't
It's the
think.
Powers of time travel, Graham. You come to us from the future.
DeLorean. DeLorean style.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say the TARDIS, but okay.
Well,
DeLorean
works too. I like the DeLorean.
I like the TARDIS more.
Then we'll talk about it later on the next episode.
On the next episode! Doctor Who versus...
Back to the future. There you go.
It slipped my mind for a minute. Yeah. We're not actually going to talk about
it's kind of October. Not right now. I mean, I don't know, November?
Yeah.
December?
According to Stephen King, Lovecraft is the 20th century's greatest practitioner of the classic horror tale.
And that's from Stephen King.
One
of the best writers ever in our...
He was at one point, and then he kind of started caring more about money than actually writing.
What? Really?
I've lost a lot of respect for Stephen King.
Oh, wow.
Have you not noticed that the man keeps repeating the same cliches in every book, and it gets really irritating?
Not every cliche.
Almost every book has the exact same family situation.
Most writers have this repetition all the time in their work.
His repetition is ridiculous. He has like books that are like... 600 friggin' pages and they're all the same bloody thing.
I don't know.
It's just
he's my favorite writer, man.
His old stuff was decent. I mean, there was a point where you have to say, okay, this is clearly where he decided to care more about earning money than he did anything else.
Well, something did happen to him after his accident though. I mean, I think he almost changed into this completely different person. Like his
almost
first book,
changed?
After his accident. Prick. Well, he was hit straight head on by a transport truck, I think, and flew a couple feet, and the guy survived that.
I just say, there's certain parts of King stand out, and then there's just parts that are just ridiculously stupid.
I don't know, man. I understand your views. It's just to me, he's got
to
be the best writer I've ever seen.
If I were to pick my favorite horror writer next to Lovecraft, because Lovecraft's my favorite,
yeah,
it would be Clive Barker.
Yes, I really respect Clive Barker. Really respect him.
Even Stephen King admits that Clive Barker.
He is the future of horror. He was the future of horror.
Yeah,
that's what he was, and that's who he'll ever be.
Clive's way of like Clive even draws out and paints creatures. It's like holy crap, dude, that's awesome. He directed his own movie.
Yeah,
a couple of his own works in the movies.
The guy's more of an artist. He's like Tim Burton in that area. He's an artist more than just a writer and a director. He's many things, you know. Like,
yeah.
All right, so I have my favorite book, Dagon, or my favorite Dagon.
I personally don't. Dagon's the greatest. My favorites are the stories of Nyarlathotep. I know you like Dagon.
All right,
why do you think I call my internet like? Why do you think I named my artist name like the pseudonym I use for an artist? The Crawling Chaos after the what? That's what the Nyarlathotep is called. The Crawling Chaos.
You have an artist name?
Yeah, it's not uncommon for people who want to go into the field that I'm going into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I specifically am going to do some indie art stuff.
Indie art?
like independent. You know,
oh,
I'm not going to
oh,
be
okay.
owned
all
by
right.
somebody.
Yeah, I would like, imagine.
I'll buy you.
No, I'm not. I'm not up for sale.
Darn it. Anyways, so you asked me.
Yes. Yeah. A passage or
and here we are.
Something.
Just read
some of his work.
Don't
read yeah. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Just give these guys a little taste of Lovecraft's work.
All right. I'm going to do a really bad job at reading this because I'm just really bad at reading out loud. So
take your time. This.
I was in reality more horrified than astonished, for there was in the air and the rotting soil a sinister quality which chilled me to the very core. The region was putrid with the carcasses of decaying fish and other less describable things which I saw protruding from the nasty mud of the unending plain.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful.
It was very good.
It takes me a minute to like picture stuff like that, but it's probably because I'm not the biggest fan of Dagon, but Dagon's just not my favorite story. So I get where he was going with it.
But is it just
technically
like,
speaking, Dagon's not part of the Cthulhu mythos. He's only associated with it because of the way he's designed.
The whole.
It was his first published work.
Is that his? Is
Dagon,
that
first, like first is, like really
that style,
published?
Is the whole the Cthulhu his center of his universe? Of his
it's
dimension
basically
kind of
what
thing?
He made an entire mythology about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the backbone of his creativity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It was all inspired by his personal fears of like other people.
Most horror writers do write what they fear. Yeah.
And since he was xenophobic, he had a lot of places to fear.
Yeah.
See, so this is the family tree.
That's his second story, dude.
I'll show you.
What
family
we got?
Tree. The family tree is so confusing.
Family tree. Yeah.
What did everybody just keep stalking each other? No.
Down here. Yeah. Dagon's below Cthulhu. I know that. Once you get more closer to the bottom, it's like worshippers.
That's all stuff that Lovecraft himself made. There's a man by the name of. I'm trying to remember. Let me actually pull him up because he's a very key person. And let me do a grab.
Was he just a fan or a writer?
No, he was a very close friend of Lovecraft, and his name was. Okay, I did not want to click that. Was a man by the name of. What was his name?
He's looking very thoroughly, guys.
Trying to like scan this thing for okay, where's the name? Okay, it was created by the other man was August Derleth, and he's the creator of several other Cthulian monsters, of both all of which are pretty decent ones. I think one of the most faithful to Lovecraft ones he has is Cthulha, which is the eternal flame. And it's awesome. I like it. And there's like four different. Derelith had a little elemental classification for everything, too. So,
yeah.
I like Nyarlathotep's air, Cthulhu's water, and Cthulha's fire, among other things. So.
Earth was those guys.
Is
I'm not even going to try to pronounce any of these because.
Yeah, those ones are like ridiculously hard to pronounce.
Just start mumbling and then you'll be like, there, that's it.
He sounds like a more fantasy horror than just
it
regular
is.
Horror.
It's fantasy
right?
horror,
yeah.
Horror,
so. Cosmic horror.
It had like aspects of. Like a fantasy,
but he wasn't restricted to the Cthulhu thing. He had a number of other things. Like there are people who know of his work, and his first real big story that he wrote was a several part thing in a pulp fiction magazine, and the story was called Reanimator. It's awesome.
Reanimator.
Reanimator.
What is it? Six parts.
It's like a dude who reanimates dead things.
Yeah, it's almost like a Frankenstein.
Like
yeah.
Or reanimates dead things. What would you call that? A necromancer?
Almost.
Something a necromancer like of science.
He was a scientist, but he was able to reanimate dead tissue.
Yeah, because he thought that like the character, the scientist. I don't know what his name was, but he thought that
sounds like Frankenstein.
People, like, it's not the soul. It's tissue. It's not. No one has a soul. It it's the tissue that moves you or something like that.
It's the tissue and the muscle response that moves you.
Yeah, people keep getting the actual Dr. Frankenstein and the Frankenstein monster, that name mixed up.
Yeah, they do that all the time.
Yeah, because originally, isn't it like Dr. Frankenstein, like the actual man, not the monster?
We just started referring to the creature itself, Frankenstein monster, as Frankenstein because that's what most people in the past thought Frankenstein was supposed to be, not the scientist.
I don't know, man.
Well, as you know, if you watch like all the films for Frankenstein, the focus shifts less on the doctor and more so on this is the Frankenstein monster, and these doctors are doing things with it. I mean, who can forget Igor?
Oh yeah,
Igor's fantastic.
Yeah, the
he was a dude who had a broken neck
and a hump on his back, right?
A hunch,
a little deformed in the face, and he was that classic sidekick kind of character. You know?
But
in
his story, he was the first time he appeared. He was
the villain
of the thing.
Really,
he eventually switched minds with Frankenstein, only to be blind in the Frankenstein's body because. Well, you know, Frankenstein monster's body.
Yeah.
He couldn't see.
See.
So he was very intelligent in the body, he just couldn't see.
Which made things a little difficult.
So when you know how people see the Frankenstein monster holding out its arms and stuff?
Yeah.
That's where that's from.
Oh.
He couldn't see, so he held his arms in front of him.
All right, yeah, because they keep changing that history.
People are just saying, the Frankenstein thing is mostly a zombie made of, like, people's
parts.
He's not
Well, do you classify him as a zombie? I don't classify him as a zombie at all. I classify him more of a separate kind of creature, you know?
Okay. Did the creator of Frankenstein come first, or did Lovecraft come first?
Frankenstein came first.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was.
Not by much, though.
I can't remember the writer's name. They were a part of this group of writers. They would just come together, and they would read each other their stories, and the one that came the most famous was Frankenstein.
Well, and Bram Stoker came out.
Oh, yeah. It's in Dracula.
Dracula.
He was German, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I do like the film, the Dracula film, because of the, you know, the original, like, No, he wasn't German, because if he was German, then Nosferatu would have been more or less the definitive Dracula start, but it's not, because it was the Dracula story, just changed. But the Dracula one that we know, like the one that spawned the whole, welcome to my castle, and all that.
Something,
kind of
stuff. That classic.
The cape, the.
But I thought Brandon liked that.
Everything.
Yeah.
What?
Frankenstein was first, the first edition was published anonymously in London in 1818. So.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So,
Anonymously?
Anonymously.
There's no record on the writer at all?
I was trying to,
she was 21 when she wrote it, so.
She?
Yeah.
You hear that, guys? A woman wrote Frankenstein. Isn't that a bit of a switch? And not a switch.
But,
like the guys back then, they would write
the thing that
romance.
I think that no one really clues in on for Dracula, specifically the movie, a really, really old black and white one. Bela Lugosi, the person who played Dracula, he knew no English when he took the role. He all the stuff he spoke in the movie was all the English he learned up to that point. He learned English to be
that
Dracula.
That must have been really difficult for that kind of an actor. Having to learn bits of English for this role.
The three definitive actors that I think of when I think of old school horror movies, like from way back when, are Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney Jr., and Boris Karloff. Because Lon Chaney Sr. was the original silent film Hunchback of Notre Dame. Lon Chaney
Victor
Jr.
Hugo's.
Became the Wolfman, so. It was awesome.
I love The Wolfman. Yeah. The remake was okay.
Yeah.
Not as good as the original.
I think the fact that I think the impact of those monsters has done its thing. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think if you're going to touch the old stuff, then
do it right.
Yeah.
through it, right? But I'm glad. I'm a little glad that they sort of kept the legendary.
If I need to like Dracula, make a quick point. Well, remember one of the last few things that touched vampires? Yeah, we don't want
Those aren't – dude, those aren't even vampires. I know. Those aren't vampires.
And the same thing Dracula. Goes to the werewolves in the same story. They're not werewolves.
Dracula is a vampire. That is a vampire, man.
It is menacing. They burn in the sunlight.
And they drink your blood dry. And they drink your blood dry. Hell, they hypnotize you with your eyes.
The very key thing. They don't sparkle.
Sparkle.
This has been the gay minute. I apologize to all the gay people out there.
Jump into a pool of glitter, and then they come out, and they're like, sparkly. Vampires back then, they're like,
I
want to
be that vampire.
They're not Dracula vampires. Just has to look on in horror at what happened
what
to
is,
his
thing.
Yeah, Dracula is terrified.
Dracula is terrified.
He'd probably have a visit with Stephanie Meyer and have a little sit-down with her on what vampires actually are.
All right, so because we're supposed to be talking about Lovecraft. I have to bring up something because
– horror writers. We were still – that's still a main topic here, right?
Sure. Right? Makes you feel better.
And recently there was this whole – because this is related to Lovecraft because it is based off of one of his stories. There's recently been some rumors floating around that some person – I think it was Steven Spielberg who wants to do it. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. He might produce it, but I don't think he's directing it. A film adaptation of Lovecraft's story, At the Mountains of Madness.
And I'm guessing that's a risky project
to make. He wants to make it PG-13.
Yeah, anything.
That does not work.
Oh.
That will never work with much of anything with H.P. Lovecraft.
Lovecraft is known for both screwing with your head, being very descriptive, and in At the Mountains of Madness, it is not PG-13. It is very gory.
Very gruesome.
It's gruesome. It's the part that's like he likes to instill fear and disgust in his readers. Like, he wants to make them feel very disgusted at what they're looking at. They're like, they're picturing in their head, like, ugh.
So, and Steven Spielberg is planning
I heard it was Spielberg. I'm not positive, but I do know that someone's trying to do that. I mean,
because is that the kind of story that Steven would. Tackle? Because that
I don't know.
Because I don't think that'd be a good idea.
It's just a rumor, so don't hold me to it. It's something I heard a little while, like a year ago.
I mean, if anybody should be directing a movie like that, like who do you think? Like
no one.
No one.
Yeah, no one.
Just write an original work. Hollywood, stop making remakes, please, and make something original.
Go right ahead and base it off of.
You can base it off,
but don't call it
At the Mountains of Madness.
Yeah.
If you're gonna make it PG-13, do not call it At the Mountains of Madness. Call it The Want to Be at the Mountains of Madness.
If it does and it comes out, I'm just gonna go to the theater and troll everyone. I'm just gonna like walk in and be like, "Don't watch,
don't watch this movie.
Leave
it
now."
It's the best movie ever, but it's PG-13, not R. It should be R. Now that we're done
I'm forced into speech because a man of science who has refused to follow my advice.
Are you reading another
passage? Is that another passage?
The first line at the Mountains of Madness.
Oh, okay.
The Mountains of Madness is fantastic, though. He also had, what was it, like the thing, the Rats of the Walls or whatever?
That was pretty
– That was pretty awesome.
That was really a metaphor.
He likes to really make you think something is going to happen, and then it starts to twist. And the key thing that I love about his work, specifically regarding the Cthulhu mythos mostly, is the characters are going nuts, and you don't know they are until the final part of the story.
Yeah.
It just keeps you in their mind, and then in the end, you find out that what they're seeing is a warped reality because they're going insane.
I can give you another one from Dagon.
Wow.
Okay.
This is good. In a way, this is good. We get.
No, it's just the first thing that actually popped up.
We're going into Lovecraft's world. Yeah, go ahead.
So this is like the last paragraph of Dagon, which is the end is.
Spoilers, everybody! Spoilers.
guys, turn it off. Turn it off. If you haven't read it.
The end is near. I hear a noise at the door, as of some immense, slippery body lumbering against it. It shall not find me. God, that hand. The window! The window!
And then it just ends.
Then it just ends.
It's supposed to make you think.
Holy
shit. It's supposed to leave you on the other side. It's like, what's happening to that guy? Oh, God.
Talk about a cliffhanger.
Leaves
my God.
Insane.
Like, basically hanging off of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
The window! The window!
And you can't sit down and talk with the guy and figure out what the hell was going on about that. Yeah. Then, you know, that actually reminded me of a scene from a particular show that they wanted to do. They wanted to do something with Lovecraft and his history, actually. Yeah, they something about – I can't remember the show. Can't remember what it was called, but they did a little history on him.
I watched a documentary about him.
Did you?
Two different ones. Pretty good. Okay. Now, I have to do some – I have to bring something up. Because it is related to Lovecraft. It is not horror, but I have to bring it up because it's hilarious. Let me pull this up on Wikipedia so you guys can laugh at it. Because it is like, what?
We should really be done though, because it's 9:30.
9:30.
Yeah, I just pull this up and show you guys, and then have a quick laugh at it. I present to you what happens when Japan gets a hold of Cthulhu.
Oh yeah.
What the hell?
It's called Hayori Naruko-san, and it is probably one of the most funny things I've seen in a long time.
Was it like a parody or?
It is basically main characters the main girl that you saw right there is Nyarlathotep,
which is like the most hideous. Like
it is the one of the most hideous monsters in Cthulhuan history, and it is just. It is one of the weirdest things. These alien, the Cthulhuan alien people, are like, they take human form or whatever, and they want to steal Earth's weird anime and stuff entertainment. It is really, really weird. It makes no sense at all.
What?
Don't question it. It is hilarious. It's just,
what?
Just take it as it is and laugh at it. It is the most hysterical thing you'll see.
I can't say that I can laugh at it. It just makes me. It puzzles me.
I did that at first too, and then I watched it, and I'm just like, I couldn't hold it.
Okay, because that's a digital bit. That is
a digital
bit.
It's a digital bit. To me, it is one of the best uses of like comedic. The best comedic use you can use with these things because they're hideous. Mackie.
Oh. All right, I'm looking at here one of the monsters. That's what this cute little girl was supposed to look like, right? It's got tentacles everywhere. What is this? Basically, I'm thinking that it's the tentacles are its legs.
The thing with Nyarlathotep that is my favorite part about him is that he's also known as one of the beast with a million faces.
Oh, is that what's on his? Is that what's it's on his stomach
no,
something
no.
Like?
Because he takes the form of many different things. There is a story where he takes the form of black, like a man that's completely black, and it's to show one Lovecraft's xenophobia, and it just everything that Nyarlathotep takes the form of always twists the character's mindset in the story a little bit because they don't know they're talking to for lack of a better term, a god.
And that is the bell, everybody!
That is the bell. We are done.
No.
We were cut off, but...
It's all right.
We shall all see you later next time.